I'm going to use a different prayer today, one that I think is evocative of Pentecost. Dear God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Did anybody happen to watch the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle yesterday? Raise your hand. Okay, pretend it's the Holy Spirit there up ahead. Okay, who watched PBS or the BBC? Okay. The rest of you, I suspect, watch ABC or NBC or CBS or one of the other networks. I watched the BBC with my family yesterday, and I got to see the entire ceremony from beginning to end. My understanding is that at least one of the American broadcast networks decided that you did not need to see all of the sermon, that they could cut out the part where Michael Curry talked about Jesus, and they could cut out his introduction, and you would all be fine. However, I will note this, even if you only saw a bit of the sermon, you were part of a remarkable moment. The BBC reported an estimated 1.9 billion people watched the wedding yesterday. Talk about a captive audience. Even if you heard only part of that message, you heard about Jesus and you heard about love and you heard about how it can build community and how it's important no matter what form it takes. Great message. I preached on that at the end of April on 1 John, so I'm not going to talk about that today. But I bring it up because yesterday was a Pentecost moment for the church. People who never set foot inside of a church saw a worship service. They heard the music. They witnessed the prayers. And perhaps a few in St. George's Chapel, out in the world watching on their TV sets or computers, decided, gee, maybe I will come to church tomorrow and find out what all of the hoo-ha is about. Pretty good. But I'm not going to preach on something that is ennobling and inspiring like Acts or God is love. I want to talk about dry, desiccated bones. Lying in a desert, in a valley, untouched, unloved, a symbol of abandonment and despair. What's going on here? Is this passage to be read as a pointer to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? There were examples of people being brought back to life in the Old Testament and the New. We know that Elijah did it. We know, of course, of Jesus doing it. We know, of course, of Jesus himself being resurrected. But that's not what this is about. First, those instances were all about an individual being brought back. Second, in the cases, the individuals had not been dead for very long. There had been bodies on them, musculature, sinews, organs. These bones were gone. The bones were jumbled, mixed up. What is happening here? Ezekiel was a priest of Israel, born to serve in the temple. But the temple had been destroyed, and the people had been exiled from the land. They had lost hope. And God knew that. And God wanted Ezekiel to know, and he wanted the people to know, that where they thought there was no way forward, there would indeed be a path to the future. that the final chapter of Israel's story had not been written, that God could indeed work a miracle. So he tells the story of the bones being gathered up, being reconstituted. This is amazing stuff for Ezekiel to hear, because people of the priestly class in Israel were not to defile themselves with the dead, with bones. Ezekiel is called to confront this. He's called by God to share a prophecy to the bones and to Israel. And that's really rather remarkable, because God could have done all of this by himself. But he invites Ezekiel to be part of his reconstituting of the people. The Spirit of God came down upon the bones, and it brought them back together, knitting bones together, clothing them with sinews and muscles. It's a remarkable image. Just think about it for a moment. But even after the people had been brought back, there was still work to do. They still needed to be filled with the Spirit of God, with the Ruach Elohim, the same Spirit that we read of in the Genesis account that moved over the void, that filled Adam, that brings life. This passage is important for us in the church to hear today. It's great to see so many people here in our congregation this morning. It's great to know that we have people on our committees, people who give, people who participate. But the state of the Christian church overall is not encouraging. And we see across denominations, from mainline to evangelical, numbers of church attendance are dropping. We may take comfort from the fact that we are the largest faith in the world, but Islam is catching up. Should we despair? Should we give up? No. This prophecy is for us. And when we may detect dry bones in our midst, we can know that the Lord will come and bring them back to life. Metrics are fine. A 10-point action plan can help. Checklists can keep us on track. But when we live for those kinds of processes or those kinds of tools, when the church simply becomes a social action agency or a place where we can see our friends, it stops being the church. And it will die. Do you feel the Spirit in you today? Do you sense it in this place? It's here. Maybe it's just tapping on your shoulder. Maybe it is screaming in your head. But the Spirit is here. And just as God wanted Ezekiel to work with him, God wants each of us to be a partner. God doesn't force himself on us. He can be insistent, but he always tries to reason with us and to get us to come on board. Faith is a gift. Faith should be a source of joy for us. Faith should be a source of hope. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I'd like you to imagine the ways that the Holy Spirit is moving in this community. Whether it's going to be through people serving and attending a senior luncheon later this week, or people coming from out in the community here for community dinner next Sunday. When you think about the kids downstairs in our church school, when we think about all the glorious music we enjoy today, all of this is evidence of the Spirit at work. but we need to make sure our hearts are open, that we welcome it into our lives. So, it's a trite thing to say, but I'll say it anyway. Happy birthday to the church. This congregation has been here for almost 250 years. And barring the return of Jesus, I hope it will be here for another 250 years. And that will be because the people here welcomed the Holy Spirit as our predecessors did. I think that is encouraging. I think that is inspiring. I think that is a sign that God is with us.